Welcome back, everyone. Today, we're going to be diving deep into some pretty intense stuff. We're talking 8th century BC, ancient Israel, two prophets, Amos and Hosea. These guys did not hold back.
No, they definitely didn't. It's kind of mind-blowing, really, how they tackled similar problems, but in such wildly different ways. Like Amos, for example. He was this total outsider, a shepherd, a fig tree farmer. Not exactly prophet material, right?
Wait, hold on. A fig tree farmer, and then boom, he's a prophet. How did that happen?
Well, you see, back then you had these like professional prophets, like a whole guild, official spokespeople for God, you know. But Amos, he was not part of that club. He came out of nowhere and just dropped these truth bombs that really shook things up.
Okay, so he wasn't exactly a crowd pleaser. What kind of messages was he preaching that got everyone riled up?
He wasn't against religious rituals per se, but he wanted them to actually mean something. Like he was calling out all this hypocrisy, people just going through the motions without any real heart. It's actually this really powerful image he uses. He compares it to a gasket of summer fruit. Like picture perfect on the outside, right? But inside, totally rotten.
Oh, wow. So he was pointing out this gap between how things look versus what's actually going on beneath the surface. I mean, that's something we can all relate to, right? We get so caught up in appearances sometimes.
Exactly. And Amos wasn't just talking about personal stuff. This is about social justice. Big time. In Amos 5:24, he actually says, "But let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream." It's powerful. He goes after the wealthy, calls them out for exploiting the poor.
Wow. That's pretty intense. So it wasn't just about religious rituals. It was about how you lived your life, how you treated others, especially the vulnerable. But I thought Amos was also known for his visions.
Oh, he absolutely was. And they were, well, pretty intense. Like there's this one where a swarm of locusts is about to wipe out the land, but Amos steps in, he pleads with God, and boom, the plague is averted.
Wow, that's heavy stuff. So he's got this like righteous anger against injustice, but then also this deep compassion, this willingness to intercede for the people. Were there any other visions that really stood out?
Definitely. There's this one, it's super striking, the vision of the plumb line. So imagine this. God is holding a plumb line. You know, like a builder's tool to make sure things are straight.
Yeah, I get it.
So God's holding this plumb line, but he's using it to show how far Israel has strayed from, like, his standards of righteousness.
Chills, literal chills. You're right, that image is super powerful. It's like God has these standards, these plumb lines, and we're all being measured against them.
And it wasn't just about individual morality, it was about the whole nation. What's even more wild is that Amos actually says that God cares for all nations, not just Israel. Which was a pretty radical idea for the time.
Whoa, that's a big deal. It's like saying God's concern goes way beyond just one group of people. But with all this judgment stuff, was there any hope in Amos's message?
Absolutely. Even when he's talking about doom and gloom, Amos ends on this note of restoration. He talks about rebuilding. There's even hints about a Messiah, someone who will bring peace and justice. Even when things seem dark, there's this glimmer of hope.
Wow, that's a lot to unpack. So we've got this incredibly complex prophet challenging authority, demanding justice, having these wild visions, but then also offering hope. Now on to Hosea, right? He takes a completely different approach.
Totally different. Hosea, some people call him the Saint John of the Old Testament because he was all about God's steadfast love. But what really sets him apart is how his personal life, especially his marriage, becomes a powerful metaphor.
Right, I remember this. God tells Hosea to marry this woman, Gomer, who is known for, well, not being faithful.
Exactly. And it's fascinating because there's a lot of debate about like what was really going on there. Was Gomer literally a prostitute, or was this more about spiritual unfaithfulness? Was it a real marriage or more of an allegory? Or was it about making Hosea experience God's pain?
Yeah, all good questions. But no matter how you interpret it, the symbolism is super powerful, right? Israel as the unfaithful wife, God as the heartbroken but forgiving husband.
It is. And that metaphor, it just hits us, you know. We all understand those complexities of love, betrayal, forgiveness, both in our personal lives and on a larger scale.
This is getting so interesting. I can't wait to dig into Hosea's message even more.
Okay, so Hosea's book, it's kind of like a three-part structure. You know, the first three chapters are all about his marriage to Gomer. And then chapters 4 through 13, that's where things get pretty heavy. Israel's unfaithfulness, the consequences, all that. And then finally, chapter 14, it's like this powerful call to come back to God.
So it's almost like we're watching this relationship unfold, right? All the ups and downs, betrayal, heartbreak, but then ultimately this hope for a reconciliation.
Yeah, exactly. And through it all, Hosea just keeps emphasizing God's love. This incredible capacity for forgiveness. It's not about ignoring what happened. It's about this path back to, like, wholeness, back to a right relationship.
That's a really important point. It's not about pretending everything's fine. It's about recognizing the hurt, but still believing in that possibility of healing.
Exactly. And this whole idea of steadfast love that's central to Hosea's message in Hebrew, it's hezed. It's this love that's loyal, unwavering, even when it's tested.
So it's not just like a fleeting feeling, it's a deeper commitment.
Totally. And it makes you think, right? Like, as you're experiencing this deep dive into Hosea and Amos, what strikes you about this whole hezed thing?
I guess what stands out to me is just how radical it is, especially back then. It's this idea that God's love isn't based on, you know, us being good. We don't earn it. We don't lose it. It just, like, is always there, no matter what.
That's such a good point. It really challenges us, you know, because we're so used to thinking about relationships in terms of, like, give and take, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. But Hosea, he's giving us this totally different model.
It makes you wonder if we've, like, lost sight of that kind of unconditional love, not just with God, but with each other, too. I mean, do we write people off too quickly when they mess up, or do we try to, like, embody that same hezed that Hosea is talking about?
That's a really powerful question. And it brings us back to those parallels we talked about earlier. Amos, he's all about justice, calling out exploitation. He reminds us that faith isn't just about personal piety. It's about how we treat each other.
And then Hosea, he's pushing us to think about love in this totally different way, not as a reward, but as this constant force that wants to heal and restore.
And the crazy thing is, these messages are thousands of years old, but they still feel so urgent today. Like, the human condition hasn't really changed that much.
I know. It's mind-blowing. We're still wrestling with the same stuff. Justice, love, forgiveness, trying to figure out our relationship with God. It's like these prophets are holding up a mirror and asking, are you really living what you believe? You know, it's kind of wild to think about it, right? These prophets, they lived like thousands of years ago, but they're still so relevant. Like, their words could have been written today.
I know. It really makes you think, like, have we really changed that much as humans?
Not sure we have sometimes. I'm thinking back to Amos's vision with that plumb line. What do you think? What kind of plumb lines would he use on us today? You know, if he were here.
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, he was all about justice, right? So I think he'd be looking at stuff like the gap between the rich and poor, for sure. And maybe how workers are treated and, oh, how we treat immigrants and refugees, you know, like those systems that create injustice.
Makes you think. And what about Hosea? What parts of his message really hit home for you today?
It's funny you should ask, because I was just thinking about that. I think that whole thing about used, you know, steadfast love, that feels super relevant now, you know, like everything's so divided these days, everyone's fighting, and Hosea's like, hey, maybe try a little grace, a little compassion.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like he's saying love can actually heal things, bring people together. And it's got to be intentional, right? Like, it's not just a feeling and you got to actually choose it.
Oh, absolutely. And it's not always easy. I mean, to really live out that hisk, you got to be willing to forgive, you know, to let go of stuff, to reach out, even when it's hard.
That's a pretty good note to end on, don't you think? We've been deep diving into Amos and Hosea, and I gotta say, I'm walking away feeling challenged, but also hopeful.
I hear you. Like, they're pushing us to live better, you know, to love more fiercely, to make the world a little more just, a little kinder.
And the best part is, we're not doing it alone. God's there with us, right? Offering grace, showing us the way, even when we mess up.
Always. Just like he was with Israel back then, he's with us now.
It's a pretty awesome invitation when you think about it. To live differently, to love harder, to create a world that actually reflects God's heart. Well, that's it for our deep dive on Amos and Hosea. Thanks for joining us. We hope you'll keep thinking about their message.